ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
I give the understanding by which they come to me. Bhagavad Gita 10.10. As stated, Kushala Karmana. Those engaged in auspicious activities in devotional service are guided by the super soul, described in this verse as Jana. One who knows everything, past, present, and future. The super soul gives instructions to the sincere, unalloyed devotee on how he can progress more and more in approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Jiva Goswami in this connection says that the super soul, the plenary extension of the Personality of Godhead, exists in everyone's heart. But in the heart of the devotee, he reveals himself as ever increasingly new. Being inspired by him, the devotee experiences increased transcendental bliss in the execution of his devotional service. Om Yanti Yandasya Yamanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Udvilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Namaha Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Paschantya Desakarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita
Prabhupada writes in the book that
There was a line that, you know, amazed me. He said, "How your heart can change?" No, not that one, the one before it. Yeah. "How your heart can change the Harikrishna mantra all day and night and never feel tired." So for us, sometimes chanting a new 16 dots can be challenging. But Srila Prabhupada, of course, we can master the yogi. For him, chanting whole day and night would never be tiring. And therefore, if we extrapolate it, then the projectors were able to change, you know, the Rudra Gita for 10,000 years underwater without any trouble. But amongst all these qualities, the one that pleased Lord Vishnu the most was their cooperation. The 10 brothers had very friendly relationships with each other. Having friendly relationships in Kali Yuga can also be very difficult. Actually, even amongst the devotee congregation as well, it can be very, it can challenge us at times. So having very friendly relationships and cooperating with each other is what pleased Lord Vishnu the most. So then the Lord appears in front of them, giving their darshan. And then the Lord, being pleased with them, with the prachetas, gives them many benedictions. What are the benedictions? Some of the benedictions include that now you will become very famous. Now you go and, you know, live a very happy married life. Now you go and enjoy the facilities of the material world, of the earthly kingdom, of the earthly planet, and enjoy these facilities for 1 million, what is 1 million? I don't even know. For 1 million celestial years, long life. Have a long life. And on top of that, he gave them bhakti as well, that you will be devoted to me. So we analyze all these benedictions, you know, the boon that Lord Vishnu gives to the projectors, there seems to be a little contradiction. Why? Because he gives them, I'll repeat, he gives them the benediction of being very famous, of being very opulent, of having a married life, of having a long life, 1 million celestial years, and tells them that you can enjoy the facilities of the material world and enjoy. And on top of that, I'll give you bhakti. Now it seems, you know, that just on a prima facie, we take, you know, that material world is a place of suffering and misery. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna. Right from the top of the Brahma Loka till, you know, the lower planetary systems is a place of repeated birth and death. So then by giving them bhakti, Lord Vishnu should have also given them almost like, you know, a benediction of a short life. Reject all the material opulence. And perhaps also don't get married. But okay, go and get married because you have to progenize for that purpose, it's okay. But somehow or the other, quickly wind up your activities and come back to Godhead. But what he does give them is a long life and enjoy the material facilities. So then, why like that? Now, if that question comes to mind, which is a fair question, then we see, this is when this text 20 and previous text from yesterday 19 fit in the picture. Why such a long life together with bhakti? So what does Lord Vishnu has to say in text number 20, which was the text for day before yesterday? Because yesterday was a special class by Jagannath Mahaprabhu. So text number 19, I'll read the translation. Yeah? In here the Lord says, and catch the important points as we go. Those who are engaged in auspicious activities in devotional service, in other words, the devotees, certainly understand that the ultimate enjoyer or beneficiary of all activities is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he clarifies to the prachetas that as much as I am giving you the benediction that you can enjoy this material world, no, for the purpose of progeny, know that, you know, the Supreme Enjoyer is the Lord at the end of the day. Bhoktaram Yagnata Prasad. That's the first point he makes in text number 18. Then 20. Thus, when one acts, he offers the results of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and passes life always engaged in the topics of the Lord. So second point, that although you will be engaged in your activity and you will be famous, know that, you know, all the results has to be offered to me. So then he clarifies, then he says, even though such a person may be participating in family life, although I am giving you the benediction of giving and get married and progeny, he is not affected by the results of his action. So first point of many points in text number 19. In summary, when the Lord gives him the benediction of being famous, of enjoying the material facilities, of living a long life, he also tells them that now that everything that you will do will be bhakti. So therefore there are no reactions to you. Therefore there is no entanglement to a devotee, notwithstanding that he can live forever in the material world. No? And Srila Prabhupada of course demonstrated that to us, that he was unaffected by everything. Just as the water touches the lotus leaf but doesn't affect the lotus leaf. No? So are the activities of the material world. It doesn't affect a pure devotee. So then that takes us to today's text, text number 20. What does then the Lord has to say after giving them the benediction, clarifying who the enjoyer is and what is the activity, what does he say in today's text? Let's analyze it. Always engaging in the activities of the devotional service, so continuing your bhakti for 1 million celestial years, devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in their activities. Let me go the other way. Let me go to the Sanskrit and then break it down. Navyat hiryate yagno. Navyat. Nav means new. Navyat hiryate yagno. So in their heart, they are always feeling fresh and new. Always feeling fresh and new. Although it's the material world, which is temporary and dukhalayam, the devotees are always feeling fresh and new. Why? Because hirdaya yagno. In the heart is sitting the super soul, the Paramatma. And the Paramatma guides the devotee, you know, in terms of his activities, giving him ever increasing bliss. Navya hiryate yagno. Brahmaita Brahma Badri. And then last two lines. Now muhyanti. Therefore the devotee is not muhyanti. Now he is not lamenting at any point in time. Now shochanti. And he is not lamenting and he is not bewildered. Muhyanti is bewilderment and shochanti is lamenting. So there is no bewilderment and lamenting for the devotee. And now harshyanti. Now this is opposite. From lamenting to bewilderment, harshyanti means not being happy. Hasna, not being happy. He is also not overly happy unnecessarily. No? Unless he needs to find the bliss in Krishna consciousness, he doesn't get too happy with the fame and the prestige that will come to you as I award you the life of 1 million celestial years. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport that the super soul guides the devotee for an ever increasing bliss. And how do we get that ever increasing bliss in the present times? Then Srila Prabhupada explains that the devotee can experience ever increasing bliss by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra day and night without getting tired. Conversely, or compared to chanting anything mundane, which can one make tired very easily, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will give us eternal bliss. Then Srila Prabhupada quotes the example of Srila Rupa Goswami, who prays that if I can have 1 million years and 1 million times, I can go and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra forever, because there is Navyam, there is Navyat, there is ever increasing bliss. And Srila Prabhupada then adds in the purport that the super soul situated in the heart guides the devotee of what activities to do. And I want to pick it from there. Srila Prabhupada explains that in the heart sitting is the Paramatma, which we know is the localized aspect of the Lord. Then what is actually the function of the super soul in the heart? Sometimes we hear that the Paramatma, the three aspects of God realization, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So I get asked this question a lot of times, in terms of who is Paramatma and what is his function? Because we are very clear that Bhagavan is personality, Bhagavan is a person, supreme personality of Godhead. And Brahman is his impersonal effulgence. So whether God is personal or impersonal, by looking at the two aspects of Lord, the Bhagavan and the Brahmajyoti, it's very clear that the Lord is personal and also impersonal, because his effulgence is impersonal. So how does Paramatma fit in the middle? Is he personal or is he impersonal? Is he eternal or is he temporary? Is there any rasa with him or is he very dry personality? How does he fit in? So that's the second part that I want to discuss with you. Now we know there are three aspects of God realization. Brahma, Vadanti tat tatva vidas, tatva jnanam advayam, brahmatmeti brahmatmeti bhagavan iti sabhyate. So Vadanti tat tatva vidas, the tatva vidas, the knowledgeable people say Vadanti, that Vadanti tat tatva vidas, bhagavan iti sabhyate. No, Vadanti tat tatva vidas, tatva jnanam advayam. Advayam means, dvayam means two. to, dual. Advaita therefore means not two. When we say Advaita, it becomes one. Dvaita becomes two. So Advaita means is the one person with three different aspects. What are the three different aspects? Bhagavan, Paramatma and Brahma Jyoti. So, I want to pick up this thread of explaining the role of Paramatma from Canto 2 of Srimad Bhagavatam in the first 5 chapters and also in the first 3 chapters, because I was recently studying that for my Bhakti Vaibhav paper, so I'll pick it from there, you know. In terms of what is the role of Paramatma is explained by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. And before that, let's just pick up the thread of how Canto 2 starts. In Canto 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam, in chapter 19, Parikshit Maharaj asks a question to Sukadeva Goswami. What is the duty of someone at any point in time, especially of someone who is about to die? So there are 2 questions there, but essentially one. Because at any point in time, anybody is already dying anyway. Death can come any time. So actually, there is, in a sense, one question. What is the duty of someone at any point in time? In response to that question, Sukadeva Goswami, for 3 chapters, explains to him what is the duty of a person and what should also not be the duty of somebody. So that's the mood that he takes. So when you look at, you know, the first 3 chapters of Canto 2, at the beginning of each chapter, Sukadeva Goswami will first explain the inferior path and reject it, and then explain what the answer is. Then in chapter 2, he'll explain what is the inferior path, and then reject it, and then accept the sweet path. So like that. So what are these paths that he explains and rejects? Some of them are, firstly in Canto 1, or in Canto 2 chapter 1, he rejects Grihamedi life. That Grihamedi life is not the duty of somebody who is about to die. Why? Because the Grihamedis, no? And for that matter, we can say Grihamedis or the non-devotees in one bucket. No? They spend their time in doing mundane things. Nidraya hiryate enantam vyavayina cha bhavaya divachate haya rajan kutumba bhayane nava. So Sukadeva Goswami explains that Nidraya hiryate enantam. Naktam is night. So what do they do in the night? Nidraya, they will sleep. Nidraya hiryate enantam vyavayina cha bhavaya. So in the night they will do 2 things. They will either sleep or indulge in illicit affairs. And in the daytime what they will do? Diva chaate haya rajan. In the daytime, they will do artha, which is economic development, raising money. Why? Kutumba bharne nava. Kutumba means their family. Bharne means to look after their family. So the grihasthas or the grihamedis, non-devotees, they will spend their night either in sleeping or in illicit affairs. And in the daytime, they will accumulate wealth and look after their families. So this is how they pass their life. So Sukadeva Goswami says that this is not the way to live, no? As a Grihamedi life. And then what else the Grihamedis will do? Deha pratyaka latra vishwa atma sainishwa satsopi desham parmato nidhanam pashyan apina pashyati. What do they do? Deha pratyaka latra vishwa. So this non-devotees, they will rely on the fallible soldiers of their deha, of their body, Patya and Kala, their wife and their children. So they will think that at the end of the day, their family, their own body, their children, their friends, their jobs, their bosses, they will protect. Now, these forces will protect his life. And Tesham Parmato Nidhana, although he is sufficiently experienced in seeing that these are fallible soldiers, they will not be there at the point in the, at the time of death to save them. Pashyana Pina Pashyati. They will see, but they are such rascals that they will still not be able to perceive it or to realize it. So Grihamedi life is dismantled. Then Sukadeva Goswami gives the answer, but they, or he dismantles other things as well, such as demigod worshippers, no, such as karma pandis. Why karma pandis are rejected? Sukadeva Goswami explains that karma panda means, no, generally they will desire to go to the heavenly planets and live an opulent life there. But Sukadeva Goswami explains that to aim for higher planets is a waste of time, because again there will be miseries only. And then he actually warns us, forget about living an opulent life even on the earthly planets. Just simplify your life. Prabhupada then elaborates on how to simplify our life. You know? And Sukadeva Goswami also says, like he gives many examples of why do we have to go and flatter our boss in the office when the Lord provides the basic necessities of life anyway.
There is water in the river, there is fruit in the tree, there is cave in the mountains, you know. An extreme example of simple living. So why do we have to complicate our life? So he says, simplify your life and do bhakti. And then demigod worshippers, they will want, you know, fame or good children or good wife or good job or good education. What is the need of all this? You know, when bhakti can give us all solution. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udharati. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajata purusham para. So akama sarva kama va. If you have now this is interesting. But Sukadeva Goswami, when he goes this way, this is interesting because he says that akama sarva kama va moksha kama udharati. So akama we understand. That's now we have got no desires. And then sarva kama means you have all the desires. Whether you are grihastha, whether you are a grihamedi, whether you are a karmakanda, whether you are a demigod worshipper, whether you are a ashtanga yogi or jnana yogi, that's your sarva kama. Akama and sarva kama. Then he quotes moksha kama udharati. So pretty interesting why he quotes moksha kama. Because if you think of something, there can be all the desires or no desires. So why quote moksha kama separately? Vishwanathakarvati Thakur gives the answer in Sharata, Darshani, that two reasons. One, if we visualize what was actually happening when Sukadeva Goswami was giving Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit. No. Sitting in the assembly was not only Maharaj Parikshit. There were many people sitting. Sukadeva Goswami, actually elevated devotees like Narad Muni, Vyasadeva, etc. were also sitting. But amongst them were sitting the grihasthas, the grihamedis, the ashtanga yogis, the demigod worshippers. Everybody was sitting in the assembly. So to address all of them, using Maharaj Parikshit's question of what is the duty of a someone, then he says, akama sarva kama. If you have no desires, like Maharaj Parikshit and the other devotees in the assembly, or if you have all the kama, all the desires, like the demigod worshippers and the karma kandas and the grihamedis, and then moksha kama, and if you are also desiring about liberation to Brahma Jyoti. So either you are desiring Vaikuntha planets, or you are desiring material planets, opulence, or you are desiring something in middle which is impersonal liberation. All of them, tivrena bhakti yogena. Do bhakti with lot of force, with lot of intensity to the Purushapara, to Krishna. So you get the point? So either you are desiring Vaikuntha planets, or you are desiring material planets, opulence, or you are desiring something in middle, which is moksha, which is liberation. All of them, and this is the point that I am making, about the three aspects of Bhagavan realization. Varun Jyoti, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So everybody is addressed in this way. You say you do Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. So, therein, in that episode of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami rejects grihamedi life, not the duty of somebody who is about to die, rejects demigod worship to say that there is not the duty of a person. Of course, explains and accepts bhakti, akama sarva kama va, o eta nirvidya mana nam icchatam akuto bhayam yogi nam nirpan nirnitam hare nam ankirtanam. So they go some explanation. Eta nirvidya mana nam icchatam akuto bhayam. If you have got all the icha, all the desires, or if you have no desires, yogi naam nirpa nirmita. Oh, if you want to be an ashtanga yogi, hare naam anukirtana. By chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra or chanting the holy names of the Lord, you will achieve all you'll get purified of your desires. And this is akuto bhaya. This is fearless and doubtless way of success, guaranteed success. So there, when he explains all this, he actually accepts, this is the point that I want to make with that background of the story. He accepts ashtanga yoga is a bona fide path of God realization. And I'll contrast it. He rejects grihamedi life, he rejects demigod worshippers as a duty of somebody who is about to die, but he accepts Ashtanga Yoga as a bona fide path. Albeit that it is a slow path. And we know that there are steps of in our yoga ladder, karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, bhakti yoga. So all these yoga are bona fide paths of God realization. But we know that bhakti yoga is a fast and sweet and easiest way, especially in Kali Yuga. But that doesn't mean that the other paths are not bona fide. It may not be practical in Kali Yuga to do Ashtanga Yoga, but it is still a bona fide path. So therefore Sukadeva Goswami accepts this. That realization of meditating on the Paramatma when we are doing Ashtanga Yoga is a bona fide way. So Sukadeva Goswami goes further to explain that what we actually speak about meditating on the Paramatma or meditating on Bhagavan as your highest goal, you can actually, if one struggles to accept the existence of Bhagavan, God, one can at least appreciate the existence of God or decipher the presence of God by looking at least the material elements. Why? Because when we look at the material creation, which he explains as Virat Rupa, there, in the material creation, there is so much, and this is generally the example that we give at Bhakti Riksha level as well, yeah? That there are so many, you know, complications and arrangements and organizations in the material creation, that itself implies that there must be something that's more than material. So for example, for our thirst there is water, the law implies lawmaker, creation implies creator. You look at the sophistication in the human body, you look at the sophistication, you know, the fact that the sun rises and sets at a certain point in time. The sun never rises in the west, always rises in the east. Now the planets are moving in a certain direction. Yesterday was something, solar eclipse or something, which can be predicted thousands of years even before, that this point in time, at this particular moment, solar eclipse will happen. So there is arrangement. So Sukadeva Goswami is saying that even, you know, if you can't take to the Paramatma form or the Brahma Jyoti form or the Bhagavan form of the Lord as your worshipable, at least look at the material creation and appreciate and decipher that there is somebody higher than just matter. So then Sukadeva Goswami explains a journey of a spiritual seeker. And he starts with, you know, that one can actually worship Virat Rupa. And Virat Rupa, we know, is the material manifestation of the spiritual personality. It's an imagination. It doesn't actually exist in one sense, but it is, you know, it is an imagination. Like, you know, sometimes people create the statue of some great personalities. A statue of Mahatma Gandhi. Now, statue of Mahatma Gandhi is not Mahatma Gandhi. But statue of Mahatma Gandhi is also Mahatma Gandhi in one sense. So it is and it is not. It's Mahatma Gandhi and Mahatma Gandhi. A statue is a statue. So there is, it's an imagination. It's a creation of, you know, through some rocks and metals, you know, to say this is the present Mahatma Gandhi. Like that. So material world is like that. It's a material imagination of the spiritual being. So Sukadeva Goswami says that a spiritual seeker can start with understanding the asat. Asat means temporary. Everything in the material world is temporary, including the body and the laws and the water and everything. At the end of the day, we get all annihilated. So we start with asat. But the spiritual seeker knows that he is longing for something that is sat, something that is eternal. We want eternal happiness. We want eternal life. But by looking at everything temporary in the form of Virat Rupa, we know that everything is asat, so there is incompatibility. So when he understands everything asat and appreciates that there must be something higher than asat, which is sat, so he goes from the realization of an asat aspect of the Lord to the sat aspect of the Lord. So his first realization is asat, that everything is temporary. Then he goes to sat. And sat is what, in the sat aspect, as we already know, that it is the Brahman realization. He reaches the Brahma Jyoti and understands, that everything is eternal. After denouncing everything material, matter, he now goes into Brahma Jyoti and knows everything is eternal. Now that spiritual seeker, once he understands that everything is eternal, he questions to say, if everything is eternal in Brahma Jyoti, is there a person who is behind this eternity? Who created this sophisticated material world that worked wonderfully well? Although it is a place of misery, but it worked very wonderfully well. So, is there a personality? So, when his desire to go further than Brahma Jyoti arises, then he gets the knowledge, which is the chit. The chit feature of the Lord is Paramatma. So asat to sat to chit, and chit is Paramatma. So he actually understands that there is this Paramatma which was controlling the material world. He was creating it, and he was present in every atom of the material world, including in my heart. So this is the third point that I want to pick up a little later. That we say that Paramatma is all pervading, but then we say Paramatma is present in the heart as a localized aspect of the Lord. So is he actually all pervading or is he localized? What does localized mean? And I'll speak about it in a minute. So but anyway, back to the thread. From asat to sat, he goes to chit, which is the Paramatma realization. Once the spiritual seeker understands there is actually a person behind the Brahma Jyoti, which is Paramatma, or which is controlling the material world, then he wants to understand that what is the role of Paramatma? What does he do? Because to this spiritual seeker, Paramatma comes across as very neutral, without any rasa. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, Krishna explains that the Paramatma's feature is what? Upa, Drishta and Anumanta. The Paramatma will guide, the Paramatma will supervise, and the Paramatma will sanction. That's all. Full stop. Nothing more than that. So to an ordinary jiva, the Paramatma will just supervise and sanction. Upadrishta and Anumanta. And our acharyas give the example of a judge in the court. That a judge, although he is a person, he is neutral, he is emotionless when he is doing his function of judging. Because that's the role of the judge. If he has emotions, then he will not be able to judge objectively. So he is very emotionless, there is no rasa. So that's how Paramatma is. Paramatma is the interface between Bhagavan and Brahma Jyoti. So Paramatma is definitely a person because he is not only impersonal, but he is a very neutral person in that particular role. So how does he guide the devotee, which Prabhupada explains in this book? I'll come to that. So after Paramatma, when the spiritual seeker knows and has denounced asat, he has reached sat, he has reached chit, and now he wants to know that is there anything more than just being a neutral judge, then he understands the ananda feature of the Lord, which is Bhagavan realization. So from asat to chit to ananda, this is the journey of the spiritual seeker. Now let's dive in regarding the role and functions of the Paramatma in the heart, or the Paramatma that is in every atom, or in between atoms as well. So as I already alluded to it, that the Paramatma's role is to be the supervisor and be the sanctioner, Upadrishta and Anumanta. However, Srila Prabhupada explains that although by default the Paramatma's predominant role is to be the supervisor and the sanctioner, when the devotee aspires to see the Lord, not to see the Lord, but to worship the Lord and reach Him and to realize Him, Krishna, through that Paramatma, starts manifesting and adds an additional functionality to Himself as Paramatma, of actually becoming the guide of the devotee. That's the difference. So when the spiritual seeker wants to know the Bhagavan aspect of the Lord and Ananda, and relish Ananda, Krishna manifests through the Paramatma, who is predominantly as a judge, and starts playing an additional role of guiding the devotee. And that's the Prabhupada explains in this purport, that when the devotee is meditating, the Paramatma within the heart, I'll give the first line of the translation, a devotee is inspired by the super soul. Super soul is the Paramatma. A devotee is inspired by the super soul within the heart to advance in devotional service in a variety of ways. So he becomes a guide to the devotee as well. So Paramatma is, so in terms of the three aspects of the Lord, Brahma Jyoti is definitely impersonal, Bhagavan is definitely personal, Paramatma is also personal. So what is the difference between Paramatma and Bhagavan? If both of them are personal, the difference is with the Bhagavan aspect, we relish rasas. With the Paramatma aspect, he is a more neutral person, but he is still a personality. And he is all pervading in every atom, but he is also localized in the heart. In that localized aspect of the heart, the devotee can tap into him and reach out to him for further guidance of his spiritual progress. And then he advances from Paramatma realization to Bhagavan realization. Or he can actually also relish the Bhagavan aspect of the Lord through the Paramatma in the heart. Because at the end of the day, whether it's Paramatma or he's Bhagavan or he's Krishna or he's, you know, or he's Vishnu or he's, you know, Narasimhadev, is the same personality, just different roles at different points in time. So Sukadeva Goswami explains, you know, then coming back to the step one, that what is, you know, the meditation of a person who is, you know, who starts the first step in Goda realization, who is meditating on the Virat Rupa of the Lord. So Virat Rupa, Sukadeva Goswami explains, you know, as the material creation starting from the planetary systems, 14 planetary systems, and anything in there is actually Virat Rupa, because Virat Rupa means the material manifestation of the Lord. So then the question gets asked is, what is the difference between Virat Rupa and Vishwarupa? Krishna showed to Arjuna Vishwarupa in chapter 11 of Bhagavad Gita, which also loosely we use the term Virat Rupa and Vishwarupa, loosely as the same. But technically, what is the difference? What is the difference? Virat Rupa is understanding the existence of God through the material creation and looking at individual elements in the material world and thinking that this is some manifestation of Krishna. For example, we can look at the mountain and then say, oh, this is Krishna. We look at the rivers and then think this is the veins of Krishna. We look at the sun and see, you know, that this is the eyes of Krishna. So taking out material elements and thinking of Krishna. I remember when Srila Prabhupada had taken his American devotees to India for the first or second time, and this was in Chennai, I think, if I'm not wrong. So at that time, you know, Srila Prabhupada was sitting, you know, on the shores of the ocean. That's where his cottage was when he was preaching in Chennai, and he was encouraging his young American devotees to go and swim in the ocean and enjoy the waves. And devotees were a little averse at the beginning, because they thought, you know, swimming in the ocean is also sense gratification. So when Prabhupada encouraged them to go and swim, so one of them asked, Prabhupada, if we go and entertain ourselves in the ocean, and, you know, and swim and splash and all that, and Prabhupada, you know, also always encourages devotees to, you know, disciples to splash water on each other and have fun, you know, have fun. So they thought, you know, that this fun is sense gratification. So one of them asked, Prabhupada, if we are swimming in the ocean, then what if death comes at that point in time? Then how will we remember Krishna? Shouldn't devotee be always thinking of Krishna and not doing anything like this? Because if death comes in the ocean, then all the effort of the life is wasted, because I'll be in the ocean not thinking of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada gave a brilliant answer, as always. He said, how can you not think of Krishna in the ocean? Because the ocean is Krishna, the sky above you is Krishna, the sun is Krishna. So how is it not possible to think of Krishna in the ocean? You look at the perspective of an advanced devotee compared to a near fall devotee. Prabhupada could see Krishna everywhere, including in the ocean. So swim in the ocean and think of Krishna, because water is Krishna. Bhumi Rapanala Vayo, Kamuni Buddhira Vajra. Everything is Krishna. So look at the ocean and think of Krishna. Look at the mountain and think of Krishna. No? So like that. This is the journey of a Virat Rupi. So whereas contrast to Vishwarupa, Vishwarupa is the same material imagination of the Lord, but it's a tool that the Lord can use to demonstrate his material opulence. So Virat Rupa is the perception of the spiritual seeker. He looks at one element and advances up and up. So when he understands, you know, that one aspect is, you know, this mountain is, you know, the Patal Loka is the feet of the Lord, you know, and the earthly planets are whatever, the navel of the Lord, like that. You know, the Brahma Loka is the head of the Lord. So this is his Virat Rupa. But from Vishwarupa, it's a total, the material display in its totality, not in individual items. I'll explain that to you a little bit more. When Krishna shows the Vishwarupa to Arjuna, Krishna shows the entire creation, material creation in one go. Not, you know, just mountains and just rivers and just the feet and just the head. The entire thing in one go. So that is Vishwarupa. That is a tool that Krishna uses time to time. He showed it to Mother Yashoda. In that tool of Vishwarupa, when Krishna showed it to Mother Yashoda, Krishna showed Mother Yashoda and Krishna also in the Vishwarupa. When he showed the Vishwarupa to Duryodhana, he didn't show neither Duryodhana nor Krishna in the Vishwarupa. When he showed it to Arjuna, the Vishwarupa, there Krishna didn't show himself to Arjuna in that Vishwarupa. Krishna was absent. That's why Arjuna asked, who are you? If Krishna was present in the Vishwarupa, then Arjuna would have seen Krishna in Vishwarupa. So Krishna is not present in the Vishwarupa. But Arjuna sees the Pandavas and the Kauravas dying and all that. So Vishwarupa is a tool that Krishna uses to show himself, you know, as a Vishwarupa. Whereas Viratrupa is understanding the same phenomena in step by step by step, taking each elements out. So when Arjuna sees Vishwarupa, we know that he gets quite overwhelmed. Arjuna, before the battlefield of Kurukshetra, before the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna saw Krishna as his friend. When the war was about to start, at the battlefield itself, Krishna saw Arjuna as his charioteer. Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Ratham Isthapameyo Achyuta. Hey Achyuta, take my chariot in the middle of the two armies. So Arjuna is now ordering Krishna, take my chariot, where? Not anywhere, but take it in the middle of the two armies. So from a friend, no, Krishna becomes more, no, of a charioteer role in the battle. So no, Arjuna is literally ordering Krishna. Just like how we, no, if we sometimes get into the taxi and tell the driver, take me to the airport. And also go via city link. No, because generally when we are going to the airport, we are rushing. No, there's always things to pack in the bag, you know, and then they just last minute hustle and bustle, you know, trying to squeeze in everything in the bag. You know, buy so many things, shoes for the father, t-shirt for the brother, shaving gear and cream, you know, for the brother. It's just like packing and packing. And generally, you know, 30 kilos means we must take 31 kilos. So there's always a rush. And even when we return from India, you know, the bag is always full. 30 kilo becomes 32 kilos. And the things that the rotis take are very interesting. You take roti, kurta, chandan, kartal, laddu, gulab jamun, barfi, chyawanprash. The most difficult thing to pick is the kartal, because you know it's a metal. You don't have to put it in your carry-on luggage, right? Because you can get, you know, tested and sighted. And you don't want to pick in your big bag as well, because it's a metal. Somebody might check, you know, break into your bag thinking it's some gold. Kartal, and it also makes the ting-ting sound, you know, if you don't wrap it nicely with tissues and all that. So our bags are, so we are always rushing. We tell the driver, take us to the airport. So Krishna is telling, Arjuna is telling Krishna, take me to the middle of the two armies. So he becomes his charioteer. Now in chapter 2 of the Bhagavad Gita, the role again changes. Krishna now becomes the guru of Arjuna. Karpanya dosho pahata swabhava prichami tvam dharma sammura cheta yashreya syami chitam guhitam me shishya sriham sadhi mamtam. So now Krishna becomes his guru. But when Krishna shows the Vishwarupa to Arjuna in chapter 11 of Bhagavad Gita, the universal form of the Lord, then Arjuna understands that actually this Krishna, whom I have been thinking as my friend, whom I have been thinking as my charioteer, whom I have been thinking as my guru, is actually God, is actually Bhagavan. And with folded hands, Arjuna prays to Krishna. Sakhe imatva prasadam yadyuktam, he Krishna he agama he sakheti, na janata nahimanam tavedam, maya parmada pranena vapi, yachava asratam asatvitosi, vihara sanya sanabho janeshu, eko tavapi achyutya tat samaksham, tat samaye tvam aham aprameyam. What does Arjuna say? That Saketi Matva Prasabham Yadyukta. I was thinking of you as my Sakha, as my friend. And I was calling you, hey Krishna, hey Adava, hey Saketi. No, very loosely. And Na Janata Mahima Namatam Vedam. I didn't know your Mahima. Na Janata means no knowing. I didn't know your Mahima. I didn't know your greatness. Saketi Matva Prasabham Yadyukta. हे कृष्ण हे आदव हे सकेति न जानता महिमानं कवेदं मया परमदा प्रमेयेन वापि. Sometimes I've been calling you loosely as a friend and Krishna and Sakha and Yadava, sometimes out of madness and sometimes out of love. Parmada and Pranayana. Sometimes out of madness and sometimes out of love. And where I have been calling you all this? Yachavaha Shratam Asat Vitosi. I have made your Krita. Your character asat. I have made fun of you and I have laughed at you. Ya chaha hasata. I've been laughing at you, joking at you. When viharasa sanyasya bhojaneshu, when we were doing recreation, when we were just walking around viharasya sanyasya, when we were sleeping, and bhojaneshu, when we were eating, I've been making all this fun of you. And who was there? Eko tamapi achyutata samaksham. Eko. It was just one of us, just two of us, one on one. I made fun of you. And also samaksham, in front of everybody else as well. Then Arjuna with folder and praise Krishna to say, Tat shamae tvam aham aptame. Please forgive me. Shama means forgiveness. Please forgive me for all these offenses. But interestingly, although we know that Arjuna felt overwhelmed by looking at the Vishwarupa, and with folded hands praying and asking for forgiveness from Krishna, that this mood of Arjuna calling and taking Krishna to his friend is actually glorious. Because Krishna can be, Krishna can reciprocate in any of the verses, including the Sakharas, the friendship verse. So this mood is glorious, and therefore, and I will end with this last verse. When Vishwamitama is about to leave his body, lying in the bed of arrows, Vishwamitama, amongst all the other prayers in Bhishma Sruti, also recalls this particular pastime of Arjuna taking Krishna as friend, or vice versa, also as Krishna accepting Arjuna as his friend. This particular pastime he finds is very sweet. So at the time of leaving his body, when he's meditating on so many things, this is his another meditation of, I want to enjoy the pastime of Krishna and Arjuna being friends. Sapadi sakhi vacho nishamya madhe nija balayor balayoratam niveshya. Istitavati parasai nikayura akshna ritavati partha satherati mamastu. This is the prayer of Vishnu. But he is saying that Sapadi sakhi vacho, sakhi vacho, sakha is Arjuna. So when Arjuna is saying vacho, Sapadi sakhi vacho nishamya madhe, madhe, take the chariot in the middle of the two armies. Nija balayor balayoratam niveshya. At that point in time, Vishwadeva explains, when Krishna took the chariot in the middle of the two armies, just by glancing, Vishwadeva says it's a merciful glance, just by the merciful glance of Krishna on the opposition army, on the Kauravas, Krishna reduces the life of the Kauravas, just by his merciful glance. So, before the battle even begins, as we know, Krishna has already killed the Kauravas. So Sitavati Parasai Nikayur Akshna, just by looking at him, Hritavati, he has withdrawn, he has reduced. Hritavati Partha Sakhe Ratir Mamastu. So this is the Rati, this is the Rasa that Bhishma Dev wants to enjoy when he is leaving his body. Of Krishna being, friend of Arjuna, Krishna and Arjuna, friend relationships. Why I was elaborating on this is, when we go back to the activities of the Prachetas, the Lord was pleased with them because they had friendly relationships with each other. They were very cooperative. So having a friendly relationship with devotees is something that is important. Prabhupada was very hammering on this point, that devotees should cooperate, always cooperate. So just as the Prachetas cooperated with each other and they were very friendly with each other, just as Krishna also, is very friendly with Arjuna, and Arjuna and Krishna have a friendly relationship. Therefore, if we are friendly with devotees, if we are caring, these are the attributes that will attract the mercy of the Lord immediately. And the Lord, with as Paramatman in the heart, who is naturally or predominantly as a neutral Upadrishta and Hanumanta, will become our guide as well. From the heart, Krishna will guide us and show us the direction of how to advance in our Krishna consciousness more and more. So that one day, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra will be new and new and fresh and fresh, even if you were to chant whole day and whole night. It will not get tiring. So the journey of achieving that stage of eternal bliss in chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it starts with simple things. Not just chanting only. Of course there is powerful, but doing all the other things around it, such as being loving and caring with each other in our devotee congregation. And for that matter, of course, being very friendly and caring with the non-devotees as well. Okay, so I will stop here. If there's any questions or corrections or comments, we've got a few minutes.
Thank you for the nice lesson. I have one question. You mentioned, you speak about Paramatma, and you said Paramatma does two things, the supervising and sanctioning. And then later you also mentioned the Paramatma is guiding the conscience. So how does the Paramatma guide the conscience?
So scriptures tell us, and we've heard this many times, there are two, it's in the heart there are like two birds. One is the jiva, and one is the Paramatma. So the jiva, which is us, is looking away from the bird, which is the Paramatma. When we turn around and approach that Paramatma for guidance, then at that point in time the Paramatma changes his default role of just, till that time he is just witnessing what the other bird is doing and sanctioning whatever the other bird desires, especially a karma of course, especially a merit, he sanctions. But when we turn around and look at Paramatma with the mood of being not just a sense gratifier, but as in a mood of humble servant of the Lord, at that point in time, the Paramatma starts guiding us. How can he guide us? No, we know this. There are two dogs in the heart. There's a good dog and there's a bad dog. So sometimes, when we do, Radha Swami explains this, when we do something bad, something tells us that this is not to be done. Sometimes the heart starts beating as well. The heart will beat faster when we think of something wrong or think of doing something wrong, and it will tell us that there is stop doing this action. But when we, it's almost like Arjuna asked Krishna the same question in Bhagavad Gita. What is that one activity that compels us to do sinful activities, although as if by force, without our desire? And that one activity Krishna explains is lust. Lust means not only in sexual connotation, but also means enjoying the material nature, lording over the material nature. That's lusty desires. So when we have those desires, then the heart starts beating faster, telling us that there is something wrong. And there is, in one sense, the symptoms of the Paramatma trying to stop us from going ahead. But when we do forcefully go ahead, then the Paramatma sanctions it, because there is a desire, but the karmic reactions will come. So when we introspect and internalize, we know that there is something guiding us to do this or not to do this. And that is actually Paramatma talking to us. When we close our eyes, and think internally, we know that there is something. There is something. When we close our eyes, we see something. What we see? We see darkness. So how is it possible to see darkness when the eyes are closed? Because we are supposed to be seeing with the eyes. But when we see the eyes and then see the darkness, that means actually the jiva is seeing, the soul is seeing. That is in the heart. And in the same heart resides the localized Paramatma. Paramatma is in every atom of the body. But in that localized aspect, when he is, Sukadeva Goswami explains that he is 8 inches, he wears yellow garments, his lotus feet, his smiling face, there is that localized aspect that we can tap into. So he will guide us in terms of what to do, what is right, and what ought to do to be done and what not to be done. And to a devotee, he takes that extra care. Does that answer?
Yeah.
No, not convinced? Were you expecting Paramatma to manifest in front of you and then say?
No, for example, when I close my eyes, I can't see Paramatma with his yellow garment sitting on a lotus, standing on a lotus flower. Or even if I would go and I would ask Paramatma, please, give me guidance. I'm not sure.
Because of our stage of advancement. But I'm sure. See, you have realizations. You have realizations that you, there are things that possibly we wanted to do wrong, but we stopped ourselves. Who stopped us? And with the benefit of hindsight, when we look at it, we realize that somebody guided us. Somebody, metaphysical, present in the consciousness, corrected my consciousness. And that is Paramatma working on us.
Okay.
Which is Krishna. Anything else? Corrections? No? Okay. We'll stop here. Yeah?